This is the 10-Minute Contrarian Podcast. This is VP. We are a solutions-based podcast diving into the world of contrarian investing and alternative finance. You can find us hosted on the No Nonsense Forex YouTube channel, nononsenseforex.com, and podcast players everywhere. Episode 148 is brought to us by Bybit. Now, on this episode, we're going to go over all the things you need to do to prepare yourself for a very uncertain future. I am not mentioning trading on that checklist, but it is certainly part of it. You can go ahead and add that in if you want. If you know how, and you know how to do it responsibly, and most of you who listen to this podcast also watch my videos, so you know, then you need to be putting that knowledge to use and making supplemental income. Period. You can't afford not to. And Bybit is our crypto platform of choice. Go down below, click the blog, you'll see why. And at the bottom of that blog, you'll see my affiliate link. You'll see what clicking it gives you. And once you're on board, there are so many more things coming down the pike just for you. Because as everybody here already knows, with Bybit, membership has its rewards. It is the 10-Minute Contrarian Podcast. And this episode was a few weeks in the making. I have been warming everybody up for this via last week's episode and the blog. Last week's episode, if you weren't aware, was on population collapse. It was one of my biggest episodes I've ever done across all platforms, so please go check that out. There's a reason for that. And please check out the blog, too. I can see all my numbers. A lot more people listen to the podcast than they do read the blog. But the blog is where you get some of the most important information. I always say there's a difference in knowledge and awareness between people who read the blog and people who don't. I don't put a new one up every Thursday, but when I do, it's often pretty important, and it often ties into a lot of the things we do here on the podcast. I'll go ahead and summarize, though. The blog I did a couple days ago was about the conflict between Iran and Israel, and just some early thoughts on it. I don't get too deep in the weeds on things like this. I never do, because it's pointless. But that very night, after I wrote it, there was a retaliation from Israel, which was a big deal all over the news, but the very next day, the markets didn't really seem to care. So it's tough to say what's going to happen with all this or what it's going to lead to. We don't know. And you know my stance as far as when the recession is happening. I think it's happening very soon after the election in the United States. But nobody is good at timing any of this stuff, and that includes me. I'm almost always too early. But if I'm wrong the other way, and this is going to lead to the big one, because I'm going to tell you right now, every metric out there and everything that's going on in the world is all pointing downward. There's almost no positive news out there. We are starting to hit that point that we have been talking about probably for the good part of 4 or 5 years, saying that this is going to happen as we were all getting laughed at, and now we're here. So if this is the big one, or if this is leading to the big one, I hope you're already ready, 100% all the way through. You are positioned for this. But I kind of doubt the majority of you are. So let's get as close to 100% as we can. Now, I definitely need to lead off by saying none of this is financial advice. This is simply what I'm doing. I value freedom and agility and protecting the money I have made at all costs, because I am never, ever going back to waiting tables. I will move to Bolivia and sell plasma and sperm and live off of soup and raise guinea pigs before I ever go back to waiting tables again. But that's never going to be a problem for me, no matter what this world throws at us. Because on one side, I have created multiple streams of income. I don't buy stupid stuff. I keep my overhead pretty low. And if you live in a Western country, mine is probably lower than yours is simply because of where I live. We'll talk about that in a moment. And on the other side, the money I have is spread out a lot. Probably more than it needs to be, but that's okay. I would rather be too spread out than not spread out enough. So if anything out there, quote, gets me, it's only going to get me a little bit. And that's the name of the game, because if we get a really bad recession and all of the other residual effects that go with it, there is going to be a lot of people, poor people and rich people, who get completely wiped out. And I would say especially the rich people. I told you before, most rich people aren't rich. They're just super over-leveraged. And they don't spread themselves out. The crypto boom of 2021-2022 was a good microcosm of this, if you remember that. But all over the world, there are versions of this. And when things get bad, and they are bound to, The poor are going to get crushed because they always do. But a lot of people who, in their mind, have done things right are going to suffer the same fate. And I don't want that happening to any of my listeners. So let's go ahead and move forward. Now, the blog I wrote before the one I wrote a couple days ago was talking about what would be the best way to protect yourself in like a total doomscape, apocalypse, Mad Max, Walking Dead type scenario, which there are people out there who think this is actually going to happen. I do not. Even if something like a currency crisis spurns it on, like to live in a world like that, all of your infrastructure would have to collapse too. Like there would just have to be bombs going off everywhere, and that's almost impossible. Now, depending on where you live, this might be a little more possible than in other places. But just for reference, let's take the absolute worst scenario. And in that blog, you saw George Gammon and friends went down to Argentina, and they tried to subsist just on Bitcoin and gold and silver. They had to trade that in for Argentine pesos, and whatever they could get for that, that's the money they had to live off of. And I'm not going to go into it too deep. You need to go read that blog. But things did not go the way they thought they were going to go. And the moral of the story was that in a super crisis like that, you know, you are going to need what everybody is going to want, not just some people, what everybody is going to want. And that one thing everybody is going to want, no matter how bad or worthless it has become, is physical cash. In a real crisis of that magnitude, society is not just going to uproot its commerce system and go back to the 1600s and trade gold and silver coins. This is absurd. And if you try to use them or try to trade them for the one thing you do need, cash, you may find what they found in Argentina, that you're not going to get 100 cents on the dollar for it. You're going to get far less. Now, to me, I feel like that's almost an Argentina-specific problem. I think gold and silver would probably be in demand by then, but you know, the current evidence we have points the other way. More on this in a moment. But now on Twitter, I actually reached out to my Nigerian subscribers and asked how they were dealing with it. And I was pretty surprised to hear some of the answers. They said you can actually still get United States dollars and have it in a bank account out there. I was not aware of that. You know, this is why you ask questions and get that boots on the ground info. So things aren't great, but they were figuring it out. But United States dollars was at the very base of a lot of that. So the very first thing, and I would say at the very top of this checklist, if you're making one at home, is going to be physical cash. This list is going to be a good cross between offense and defense because you must play both. If you're young and you're just going offense, 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 you're going to find out really soon that this is not the way. You know, maybe you just need to learn the hard way, and a lot of people have, but they have done that in a bull market to where you can easily recover. Learning the hard way in a bear market is going to hit a lot different. Trust me. So we're going to play both sides, but the one thing that I think just stretches all across both sides is going to be physical cash. Make sure you have some. Get rid of all the stupid reasons why you don't. You're like, oh, I think it's safer in a bank than in my house. Why? If you just put it in a safe hiding place and don't tell anybody about it, even if you get robbed, they're not going to know where it is, and they're probably not going to find it. As low as getting your house robbed, as far as probabilities go, even is. Like, it's so crazy the things people come up with. It's the exact same in your hand or in an envelope in a hiding place in your home than it is in a bank. And as what we've learned about banks recently, it could be even more safe. But we'll talk about banks in a moment. I just wanted to have that at the top of the list. If things really go down, and there's a situation where you cannot withdraw money, and there's been stories about this. Hugh Hendry, one of the biggest hedge fund guys out there for a while, also worked for Credit Suisse, now his turn contrarian investor, even said that because of the M2 money supply, this could possibly lead to a scenario where Americans are not able to withdraw from their own bank accounts for a certain amount of time. This story just came out. You know, as crazy as it seems to a lot of us, don't think this stuff cannot happen. And if the proverbial poop hits the proverbial fan and you need to get out of there, cash is going to be your way out. Gold and silver might be if the person on the other end of the transaction knows what the hell it is and how to measure it and how to know what it's worth and believes it's real, but all of those things have to happen. So having a healthy amount of physical cash on you somewhere is at the very top of this list. Also at the very top is going to be eliminating debt. My God, the last thing you want in a crisis is to have anti-compound interest like debt working against you. Now, if this debt includes your home or your car or something like that, I get it. You pretty much can't get rid of that. But any other type of debt, especially credit card debt, that needs to really be your number one priority. Getting that down to as close to zero, if not zero, as you possibly can, because it changes everything. Now, I've talked to some people, you know, younger people, they're like, well, I can earn this much in crypto, which is way more than I'm getting hit on my debt, you know, in terms of where I need to put the money I make. And I'm like, yeah, but you're doing it wrong. I'm telling you, this makes sense right now. But we have seen plenty of moments in our recent history where this makes no sense at all, and you're getting really, really hurt. I'm going to name all these other places where you can put your money, but the number one place you should be putting it, if this exists, is getting rid of things like credit card debt. Because your average normie isn't doing this. They are racking up the credit card debt. You know, you hear these people in the goofy TradFi world saying, oh, everything's really great in the economy because airports are full and all this kind of stuff. What we found out is most people are just saying, screw it. And they're living their far beyond their needs life and doing it with borrowed money. So even the middle class, what's left of it, is going to get crushed by this too. And the whole purpose of this episode is to make sure you are not one of these people. So you need to forget everything else I'm talking about from this point on and take care of that debt first. And then after that's done, get to a point, no matter what you put on that credit card, you can pay it off that month. No exceptions. If you can't do this, then that means you are too levered on one side. Your lifestyle is way higher than it should be, and you need to scale back. There's just no other way to explain it. But let's move on to more fun stuff, I guess, than physical cash and debt. And I think everybody here, no matter how old you are or what your current investing style is, needs to be somewhere in crypto. By now, you should understand it. You should at least understand Bitcoin. And we already know how much worse our money has gotten and how inflation is killing everybody to where even people with good jobs can't catch up. I say, if that's going to be the case, that's going to be the case. But thank God for crypto, because you need the outsized gains crypto gives you, not just to beat this, but simply to catch up. The world really needed this booster. And the people who actually know what to do in this space and how to manage their money properly are the ones who have been able to take advantage of it the most. Now, why do the people who don't invest in crypto not invest in it? The root cause is probably fear. And what do we fear the most? We fear the unknown. And so you need to go learn more about it, because when the unknown becomes more known, we fear it less. And all it takes is that one entry. You know, whatever your entry was into the crypto world, was it Bitcoin? Was it a meme coin? All it takes is one. And then that curiosity grows. And you at the very, very least, you understand it a lot more. But it should be obvious by now that this is the future of money. So unless you plan on dying in the next 5-10 years, you need to be on board with it too. No questions asked. So on this list, physical cash is number one. Paying off debt is number two. Everything else is going to be pretty much a tie for third. So crypto is that first thing. And after that, on the other side, if you're young, I have a lot of younger listeners too here. I know you're not big into precious metals, but you better figure it out soon. Because I think some of you got a little bit of an emotional shock when we started to have that big pullback in crypto, but gold and silver started to go crazy. And even those mining stocks started to catch a bid. You know, I think that was a light bulb moment for a lot of you when you said, oh, wait, what? You mean crypto's not just a leverage play on precious metals? No, they're two very different things. And they are two things that will save your ass at two very different times. So just like to me, it makes no sense for anybody who listens to this podcast to not have crypto. It also makes no sense for anybody who listens to this podcast to not at least have physical gold somewhere. And we've spoken many times. I have an older video on the No Nonsense Forex YouTube channel talking about all the ways you can hold gold and silver. There's a lot. It's not just one. People are like, well, I don't want to do it this one way. Well, there's more ways. If you want something more agile, you can go the paper route or you can go the digital route. You know, there is some third-party risk there, but you can move it in and out very easily and very quickly if you wanted to or if you had to. But holding the real thing is going to be the most popular way to do it. Now, going back to that Argentina blog and video, physical holders really weren't getting the best of it in a crisis like that. But I really do feel like that was kind of a one-off Argentina thing. I think in most countries, gold and silver is going to be at a premium during rough times. Not to mention the price of the underlying asset itself is going to go up quite a bit. You know, central banks all around the world have been buying a lot of it because they know what's coming. Are you going to fade them? Do you think they're all going to become a bunch of bag holders collectively? When this is all said and done, I'm going to bet that's not going to be the case, and I'm not smarter than them. If you think you're smarter than all of them, have fun with that. Now, the way I hold my precious metals, I've mentioned this in the past, I do not mention the place I do it for security reasons, but there are plenty of places out there that are offshore and very, very secure, and for a small fee, they will hold your precious metals for you, and they have huge marketplaces where you can buy from. So you can get all different types, all different weights, you know, which is good for all different kinds of budgets. And what my place does, and I'm sure other places do this too, is if I need to sell it, I'm not going to need to find my local store and beg for a good price. I can just simply exchange it right there for a host of different fiat currencies and also for Bitcoin. I can just liquidate it, boom, boom, just like that. Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be a fee involved, but who cares? It's not going to be huge. But I physically move around a lot, and I can't have gold and silver in my bag like that. So this is the route that works for me the best. I do have some paper gold on top of this, and paper silver. I should mention that. But make sure you have this somewhere. Like I said, defense is every bit as important as offense. And precious metals, especially physical gold, is the ultimate defense. A lot of you probably weren't taking me very seriously when gold was at $1,800 an ounce and floundering and not moving a whole lot. But hopefully you guys are taking me a little more seriously now. As far as precious metals stocks go, that is not on the list. That is completely up to you. They are leverage plays on precious metals, and they don't always go up when precious metals go up. So as much as I like them, as much as we talk about them on the show, things like that are completely optional. Now, in the stock world, what I think is a lot less optional, and this is going to be on the list, is energy stocks. Now, energy overall is very cyclical, which means it's a total pain in the ass to invest in sometimes. I get that. But it is the one thing we all need and we are all going to need. And we're going to need a lot more of going forward. And supply on most of these things we invest in is only going down. In some cases, like, holy shit, going down. So positioning yourself for a very uncertain energy future, to me, is a very good idea. Now, in recessions, energy often goes down because we use less of it. But this time around, I can't see it going down as much because we rely on it so much more and more just for everyday things. And as I said before, the supply on a lot of these things, like silver, like copper, and even, yes, in my opinion, like oil, have already turned over and probably turned over for good. And let me just say that I've already shot this entire podcast and it went over 40 minutes long. So I'm going to break it up into two parts, the one side of the checklist and then the other side, which is less obvious than the first side. But we will attack that next week and you are not going to want to miss that. So in the meantime, have that first half of the checklist created and start getting those boxes filled out. Because once this crisis does come and manifests itself, we're going to be really glad we weren't crazy and we were just early.